This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي جعل لكم من بيوتكم سكنا وجعل لكم من جلود الأنعام بيوتا تستخفونها يوم ظعنكم ويوم إقامتكم ومن أصوافها وأوبارها وأشعارها أثاثا ومتاعا إلى حين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, friends, may Allah reward the MC for that very flowery introduction. May Allah make us as people perceive us to be and forgive us for the shortcomings people are unaware about us. The beautiful melodious recitation that was recited before us, if I could extract two ayats from that passage of the Quran, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's a verse of the 7th juz, Surah An'am, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told that when the believers come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, then convey them the salams of Allah. Tell them Allah has conveyed salams. In one verse in the 6th juz, in Surah Ma'idah, Allah says, the disbelievers are not your friends, the infidels are not your friends, the polytheists are not your friends. That was almost going to prompt a question to say, then are the believers without friends? And then Allah concludes the discussion, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. That listen, I haven't left you without a friend. Your friend is Allah. Your friend is Allah. And really, brothers, we need to, your friend is Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers who diligently engage in the worship of Allah. Imam Shafi rahimahullah used to say, سَلَامٌ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا صَدِيقٌ صَدُوقٌ صَادِقُ الْوَعْدِ مُنْصِفًا. If I cannot find an honest, faithful, transparent, candid friend, then I'm better off to bid farewell to friendship and be a loner and be an island and be without friends than befriending people who give negative influence. He says, تَرَكْتُ أَسْفَلَهُمْ لِكَثْرَةِ شَرِّهِمْ. When I analyzed the friends in this world, they were the bad and the good. I looked at those that were giving of negative influence. I said, let me backstep from this here. Since I associated with them, I'm getting negative influence. I'm getting evil influence. I'm doing wrong things. So I said, no. Not that Imam Shafi did, but the kind of influence. I often say the topic of peer pressure is not only relevant to youth. We all take pressure from our peers. We all take pressure. Those that are supposedly to be good and noble, وَتَرَكْتُ أَعْلَاهُمْ لِقِلَّةِ خَيْرِهِ. I realized the only thing good of these people were that they didn't have the bad of otherwise of others. Otherwise, they were not giving off any positive energy. So if you go by these people, they're not going to use vulgar language. They're not going to be talking immoral things. They're not going to be smoking bad things, but not like you're going to be getting positive messages as well. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Your friends are Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those were the opening verses. The concluding verses, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبَعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. A synopsis of human existence on planet Earth in the most comprehensive way in one of the verses that were recited. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. It is Allah who causes your death daily by night. اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. This is on the second page of the 24th juz. Under this ayah, Ali radiallahu anhu's quotation is mentioned that Allah extracts your soul when you go to sleep. The soul somewhat departs the body and has a tie with the body as well. So it's suspended, it leaves, and it has a gentle tie and a gentle link. And when we stand up and Allah has ordained and decreed for us to live, then Allah restores the active soul in the body, as the Quran continues in this verse. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And Allah is cognizant. Allah is cognizant of your engagements and your activities throughout the day. I was now in Malaysia, and there was a brother from America, Imam Siraj. And you know, everybody exhibits a different charisma. And he says, and I just quote this because the same ayat he recited. And subhanAllah, you know, and I often say this, we don't have a monopoly over deen. I was in that conference, and then earlier in the year, I was in North America, and sitting on the panel, and I rotated my gaze, large audience of over 20,000 people. And when I rotated the gaze, probably myself and two other scholars were born Muslims. Every other scholar was a revert to Islam. Every other scholar who had a significant following, who was an author in his own capacity, who was dynamic in his own way. And I said, this is our deen. Nobody is anchored. Nobody is permanently fixed into the position. I looked around me, and so was Imam Siraj. And he says, brothers, if I can mimic his style, you know, typical amazing North American scholar. He says, I was sitting in my office in Brooklyn in New York, and I'm busy preparing my Jummah lecture. And I'm like scratching my head, and my gaze fell on the verse, and no leaf drops, but that Allah is aware of this. I closed the Quran and I walked down New York, and I looked at the many trees and the leaves, and I said, Siraj, what are you grappling with to speak? Speak about great, how great your Lord is. And I often mention another incident about Imam Siraj as well. We have a good relation. We meet up in these events. He says, I was preparing a Jummah talk and I needed to constructively engage my son. And today, unfortunately, we hand over a device to them, and that could be probably the most catastrophic thing we can do to them, because digital consumption has gone to another level. One of the radio stations recently were discussing this, and I've been speaking about it in many of my talks. YouTube records 100 billion hours of viewing daily. 100 billion. Can you imagine what digital consumption is gone to? Inconceivable. So he says, I decided to put my son into something constructive. I gave him a map. I broke it up into pieces. I said, put the whole continents together. While you're doing that, I prepare my lecture. Lo and behold, the boy puts the map together in 10 minutes. I'm like, wow, I know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But I didn't know you were so calculated and skilled and methodical. He's like, Dad, flip the page. On the reverse side is an image of a man. I just put the hands and the legs together and the world came together. Oh my boy, you've given me the idea. When man comes in place, which is alam-e-saghir, then alam-e-kabir will take place. Then the real world will shape. When you and I take our form and our shape, the world will shape around us. But as long as we don't sort ourselves out, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. Allah causes your death by night. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And Allah is aware of what you do. In the 16 juz, in Surah Taha, and another name of this chapter is Surah Kaleem. يَعْلَمُ السِّرِّ. Allah says, I know your secret. وَأَخْفَى. And I know that which is more hidden and concealed than a secret. Akhfa, more hidden. The scholars of tafsir unpack what can be more hidden than a secret. In Ibn Kathir and other tafsir, it's written, you're sitting and you're daydreaming, and your mind is running through 1,000 thoughts. And after a few minutes, somebody nudges you and is like, brother, yeah, okay, what were you thinking? You grapple to recollect your thoughts. Allah says, I know that also about you. Because it was just purely daydreaming, as we would say. You were just, you know what, having a moment. You grapple to recall your own thoughts. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah knows that as well. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبَعَثُكُمْ. Then he will resurrect you. ثُمَّ يَبَعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. To complete that appointed time which has been ordained for you. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Inevitably you return to Allah. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He will then inform you of everything you do. And he will also inform you of the legacy you leave behind in the form of good and bad. Then Allah says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي. Allah is supreme and dominant over his servants. Just to continue that ayah. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. I have a flash of what Allama Hakim al-Ummah has written in Bayan al-Quran under this ayah, so I'm just going to bounce it off you. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ. Allah is supreme. Allah is dominant over you. He has absolute authority and sovereignty over you. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. And Allah delegates angels to protect you. Ka'b Ahbar, the great scholar, has written that if it wasn't for these angels that protect us, insulate us, fortify us, then the jinnat would have made our life a living misery. But it is these malaika. How often a vivid manifestation of the protection of the angel are kids. Watch him, he's going to fall. Oh, he just missed it. Oh, the car. Oh, there's an angel protecting him. He's going to slip from the wall. He's going to, oh, alhamdulillah. How often is just about to, he's going to collapse, he's going to hurt, he's going to knock his head. But at that critical moment, then the question then arises, then how is it that sometimes children then fall and get hurt if the angels are in place? And the answer is given in the Quran, يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ أي بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They protect them by the help of Allah and the will of Allah. And when Allah decides a calamity to come, the angels just backstab. They just backstab because at that time Allah had ordained and decreed for something to happen, so it occurs. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. When it is the time of death, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. So amazing, Hakim al-Umma writes in Bayan al-Quran, the very angels who are deputed and delegated to protect man, when Allah decides the death of the person, these very angels now change their task from protecting, and they aid the angel of death in creating his death and ending his life. The very angels who were deputed protect him, safeguard him, he mustn't get hurt. Now the time has come that now his soul has to leave. So tawaffathu rusuluna, our messengers, our envoys, our angels give him death. Wahum la yufarritun, they don't fall short. They now become helpers and assistants to the angel of death, who's chief, you know, in charge of this year, to take care of the death of insan. And they also, Allah speaks about it in different ways in the Quran. There are those pious souls, may Allah make us amongst them. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. When it comes to the disbelievers, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى, Allah swears by those angels who get in, who plunge in, who forcefully remove the soul of disbelievers because they don't want to part. أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, it's told to them, release your soul. And when it comes to the believers, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى, it's just untying a knot and then the soul itself freely just smooth sails away. Because the soul just wants to depart. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشَطَى, just untie the knot. When you don't need to forcefully take a bird out of the cage, you just go to untie and the bird will make its way out. The bird will make its way out. The soul just leaves. May Allah make us amongst those people that when it's time to leave, our soul is ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was just a preamble because, you know, the verses were so beautiful in every verse of the Quran. So I thought I would just share it with you. One of the greatest luminaries of Islam, the greatest sons of Islam, was undoubtedly Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, whose name is synonymous to wisdom. You think of Ali radiyallahu anhu, you think of wisdom. You think of wisdom, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu comes to mind. His poetry is of another caliber altogether. Somebody once came and asked him, what's the difference between close and extremely close? What's the difference between difficult and extremely difficult? What is the difference between, you know, academic language. So he said, فَرْضٌ عَلَى النَّاسِ أَن يَتُوبُوا لَكِنَّ تَرْكَ الذُّنُوبِ أَوْجَبُ وَالدَّهْرُ فِي صَرْفِهِ عَجِيبُ وَغَفْلَةُ النَّاسِ فِيهِ أَعْجَبُ وَالصَّبْرُ فِي النَّائِبَاتِ صَعْبُ لَكِنَّ فَوْتَ الثَّوَابِ أَصْعَبُ وَكُلُّ مَا يُرْتَجَى قَرِيبُ وَالْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَاكَ أَقْرَبُ. If you can appreciate it in Arabic, it's much more profound. But nonetheless, a just and paraphrased translation of this is, فَرْضٌ عَلَى النَّاسِ أَن يَتُوبُوا. So one was to give an answer in academic, codified language, but he gave it in a poetic form, conveying a rich meaning, at the same time, giving a rich moral out of it. فَرْضٌ عَلَى النَّاسِ أَن يَتُوبُوا. It's mandatory to abandon a life of sin. لَكِنَّ تَرْكَ الذُّنُوبِ أَوْجَبْ. لَكِنَّ تَرْكَ الذُّنُوبِ أَوْجَبْ. There's nothing more compulsory than the termination of sin. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا عَقْلَكَ التَّدْبِيرِ وَلَا وَرَعَكَ الْكَفِّ. لَا عَقْلَكَ التَّدْبِيرِ. Look at the words of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to read about the great thinkers and philosophers and writers and brains of the world. The words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wahab ibn Munabbih rahimahullah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْطِي. Qadi Ayad has mentioned it in Shifa. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْطِي جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدْءِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَنْبِ عَقْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ مِنْ بَيْنِ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. That the collective intelligence of the entire world is like one dust particle, and the exclusive intellect of Nabi alayhi salam is like the deserts of the world. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, لَا عَقْلَكَ التَّدْبِيرِ. There is no act of intelligence better than good planning. You can plan in 1,000 ways. You can be intelligent in many ways, but good planning. And I think I must exploit the moment and say, by and large today in the ummah, we are not having long-term plans. We are short-sighted. We are not visionary. We don't have succession plans in place. I'm just making a statement and moving on. But honestly, part of a structured ummah is where there is good planning in place. And the balance of Islam is, you strategize, you have an act in place, but your reliance is on Allah and not your plan. And that's what distinguishes us from anyone else. So we have a plan. Yaqub alayhi salam tells his sons, listen, you're going to the king. It's a foreign land. He knows you not, you know him not. You know what? 11 brothers walking in the court of a king is speaking a foreign language. Inevitably, you're going to attract attention. Camouflage, disguise. Just some this way, some that way. That's my plan. يَا بَنِيَ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ وَدْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبَوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقًا. Some from here, some from there. But then look at the balance. And I tell you what Allah says immediately after that. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. This is my plan to avert you becoming a victim to the evil eye. But let's have our facts in place. My plan cannot alter what Allah has decreed. But then my fatherhood compels me to impress upon you the need to institute this measure. And then what Allah goes on to say, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ. وَإِنْ Yaqub is an alim. Yaqub is learned alayhi salam. He is a man of knowledge. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَا. Because we taught him. And the ulama say that Allah pays tribute to his accolade here that he impressed upon his children. Some of us either don't have a plan, or if the best of us have a plan, sadly we rely on the plan. The balance of Islam is we marry the two by having a plan in place, but then we don't put our reliance on the plan. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave in the journey of Hijrah, the narration of Muslim Sharif Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, they are right here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا ظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ بِإِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. Abu Bakr takes solace, we're not two, Allah is with us. Having comforted and consoled Abu Bakr that Allah is with us, he didn't exit the cave. He stayed with his plan. He stayed in his cave. He didn't tell Abu Bakr we're in a safe place. He said Allah is with us. But then he didn't exit on the pretext, on the knowledge that Allah is with us. The ulama say he married the two. He taught us the balance of planning and reliance. May Allah give us the correct perspective and the correct understanding of things. I don't want to digress into a topic of this here, but it just came in my mind, so I'm bouncing it off you. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا عَقْلَكَ التَّدْبِيرِ وَلَا وَرَعَكَ الْكَفِّي. There is no better act of piety than abstinent from sin. You know what? You engage in optional actions, in things that are rewarding and good, noble, meritorious. But the real essence of piety, my brother, do the basics, the hadith in Mishkat. O Nabi of Allah, what is obligatory upon me? This. Aflaha ar-rajulu in sadaq. Aflaha ar-rajulu in sadaq. Academically, the scholars of hadith will go into 1,000 discussions under this hadith. But what did he say? La azidu ala hadha wa la anqus. La azidu ala hadha wa la anqus. O Nabi of Allah, 5 times salah, hajj, this. Okay, I'm not going to add to anything that's for us. And I'm not going to decrease. He walked away. Sahaba were just, you know what, surprised by his presence, his comments, his remarks, the engagement. As he turned away, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if he honors what he said, he's made it to Jannah. And what did he say? I'm not going to go above the threshold of mandatory. I'm not advocating that you don't excel. I'm saying when we analyze two things, we go the extra mile when it comes to optional, which is meritorious, but at the cost of indulging in forbidden, which compromises the outreach and the output of our good things, and thereby compromising the essence. May Allah grant us the correct understanding. Anyway, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu then said, لَكِنَّ تَرْكَ الذُّنُوبِ أَوْجَبْ وَالدَّهْرُ فِي صَرْفِهِ عَجِيبٌ Hi. وَالدَّهْرُ فِي صَرْفِهِ عَجِيبٌ This world in its turn, in its attraction, in its embellishments, in its rise, in its fall, in its deception, in its delusion. It's so strange. It's so peculiar. It's so ajeeb. One side here, there's a hearse. That side, there is a wedding car. There's a bride here. There's a funeral here. There's flowers here. There's flowers there. One going to the living, one going to the dead. One's been wrapped up and clad. The other one is clad in and wrapping himself. وَالدَّهْرُ فِي صَرْفِهِ عَجِيبُ وَغَفْلَةُ النَّاسِ فِيهِ أَعْجَبُ But the heedless nature of man is more astonishing than the deceptive nature of this world. Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, the kuffar were astonished. They couldn't reconcile with the principle of resurrection after death. Allah said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah told them, are you people astonished? Are you astonished about life after death? Allah says, life after death is not astonishing. It's astonishing that you astonished about it. Life after death is not astonishing. وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ Strange. قُلْ كُونُوا Look at this verse of the Quran. قُلْ كُونُوا حِجَارَةً أَوْ حَدِيدًا Tell them after death, if you think for life to be restored to that mortal who disintegrates in his grave is remote and impossible. Allah says, take it to a more remote level by your warped definition. Convert that corpse into stone. Make him into stone. O hadida, or make him into steel. O khalqam mimma yakburu fi sudurikum. Or put him in a form from which you cannot reconcile that life can be restored to him. فَسَيَقُولُونَ مَنْ يُعِيدُنَا And then they'll say, well, how is he going to be revived? قُلِ الَّذِي فَطَرَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ Say the very one who created him the first time will create him again. خَلَقْنَاهُمْ وَشَدَدْنَا أَسْرَهُمْ We created them and we solidified their joints. أَسْرَهُمْ يَحْسَبُ أَلَّا نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا You're thinking we will assemble your bones, we'll put your fingertips together, man. We'll put your fingertips together. The ulama of Aqaid have written that there's a particle in the back which doesn't disintegrate, which would be like a seed from which man would be created in the land of Barzakh. Anyway, وَالدَّهْرُ فِي صَرْفِهِ عَجِيبُ وَغَفْلَةُ النَّاسِ فِيهِ أَعْجَبُ وَالصَّبْرُ فِي النَّائِبَاتِ صَعْبٌ لَكِنَّ فَوْتَ الثَّوَابِ أَصْعَبُ وَالصَّبْرُ To persevere in difficulties is challenging, but not to persevere and deny yourself the reward is foolish. It's foolish. You're going to lose the moment. You're going to lose the moment. وَالصَّبْرُ فِي النَّائِبَاتِ صَعْبٌ لَكِنَّ فَوْتَ الثَّوَابِ أَصْعَبُ وَكُلُّ مَا يُرْتَجَى قَرِيبٌ وَالْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَاكَ أَقْرَبُ Everything you anticipate is inevitable. And the closest of anything that you can possibly anticipate is death. So there is a couplet of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And I hope I can get to my topic sooner than later. But honestly, this is the beauty of the Quran, nothing of myself. Allah puts this every time I start, I don't have a clue in my mind, and it's all from the wisdom and the kindness and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of the Quran. The beauty of the Quran. It's لا تنقضي عجائبه, the narration of Tirmizi. لا تنقضي عجائبه هو حبل الله المتين. It's the firm rope of Allah. Malana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes under that ayat, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the rope of Allah. He says, Allah ki rassi choot sakti hai, toot nahi sakti hai. Allah ki rassi choot sakti hai, toot nahi sakti. The rope of Allah is such, it will never give in, it will never break. You can lose your grip. That rope will never fail you. That rope will never fail you. That thing won't cave on you. That thing won't lose its connection. Yeah, you can lose. You couldn't hold on. I was holding, my hands were paining. Well, that's tough luck if you drop, my brother. Tough luck, but that rope will hold you. If you hold on to it, then you are through. Huwa hablullahi al-mateen. It's the firm, solid rope of Allah. May Allah keep us connected to that rope of deen and iman and Quran. Because in the crisis in which we are, in the turbulent times in which we are, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, fitan will just grip and engulf people. Man ashrafa laha istashrafat lahu. If you will just peep at the fitna, it will suck you in. I was just perusing and I said, let me just see what's the site. Just curiosity. Curiosity. You know, that's the world in which we live. They say few people care, others are more curious. Others are more curious. Hey, what happened and everything? They're not concerned, they're curious. They're curious. So I was just browsing, I was just looking through, and then I just said, let me go in. Man ashrafa laha istashrafat lahu. Fitnatun amya bakma samma. Amya bakma samma. Fitnas that will leave you blind, deaf, that will strip you of all your faculties and your abilities. It is here before us, staring us in our eyes. We are living in an era from which our pious predecessors asked Allah protection. But the only comfort we have, my brother, is what is coming tomorrow is more challenging than today. And this is going to continue and continue. I marvel at this commentary of the scholars of hadith. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, somebody said, Shakona ila Anas ma nalqa min al-hajjaj. We went to Sayyidina Anas and we complained to him about the tyranny of Hajjaj. Faqala isbiru. He said, persevere. Listen to this clearly. I read this in Fathul Bari. Read our writings and the work of our ulama and how they devoted their lives. Al-ulama ul-uzzab, al-ladhina atharu al-ilma ala al-ziwaj. I often say to the students, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, in one of his kitabs, he has dedicated a book to ulama who in the quest and the passion of knowledge have opted for celibacy just because they were so engrossed in knowledge. And I say today, our knowledge can't keep us away from haram. Their knowledge kept them away in arm's length from indulging in halal. They said, no, we're going to get married and this year, let me finish this book. And in that, their life went away. In that, their life went away. Their occupation and engagement and engrossment didn't allow them to become elaborate in the permissible. Our knowledge doesn't keep us away from forbidden. So anyway, we complained to Anas ibn Malik about the tyranny of Hajjaj. So Anas radiallahu anhu said, Isbiru, persevere. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ أَشَرُّ مِنْهُ حَتَّى تَلْقَوْا رَبَّكُمْ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ نَبِيِّكُمْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Persevere, because the era that is to come would be more turbulent than the one that preceded it. The ulama say, وَقَدْ إِسْتَشْكَلَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. There is some academic discussion amongst the scholars that how is every era that is to be followed thereafter more turbulent than the previous era, whereas the era of Hajjaj was followed by, after Hajjaj came the period of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was a fresh breath. It was now a fresh breath of good air. It was a second Umar. It was on the manhaj and on the pattern of Nabuwat. So that era came post. Look at how our scholars open up, man. If you know what I'm saying, I hope I'm not too academic here. But what I'm saying is how they unpack and understand. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is what Anas radiallahu anhu said, listen, just hang on, as bad as it is, tomorrow is worse. Just take it in your stride and move on. Now how is it that the ulama, or how is it that the hadith says that every era coming would be worse, whereas the era of Hajjaj was followed by the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And that was a much better era, because Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was this just ruler, was this amazing man. During his period in Tafsir al-Kabir, there is a narration that the wolf and the sheep would drink water from a common well. The wolf and the sheep would drink water from a common well. So the ulama ikram explain, what's the answer to this? The answer to that, as much as the period of Hajjaj was riddled with tyranny, but it was rich with sahaba. That as much as there were so many sahaba, they were the veterans of Badr, they were the participants of Uhud, they were those who pledged, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh, Allah was so pleased with the believers. Allah was so happy. Hadith of Bukhari 1400. They sat under the tree. Try and visualize and your brain freezes. My Habib Sassam sat down. Each Sahabi came forward. أَنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from every human who inhabits the planet today, there's no greater human than these 1400. There's no one greater than these 1400. So as much as the era of Hajjaj was riddled with tyranny, there was a sizable number of people who had seen Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an era in which Sahaba were present, inevitably, automatically, without any reservation, puts that era on a greater level than an era in which the numbers of Sahaba had dropped and decreased and diminished. So anyway, there is this couplet of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, in which he says, لَيْسَ الْبَلِيَّةُ فِي أَيَّامِنَا عَجَبًا بَلِ السَّلَامَةُ فِيهَا أَعْجَبُ الْعَجَبِي. لَيْسَ الْبَلِيَّةُ فِي أَيَّامِنَا عَجَبًا. We live in a time where trials and tribulations are not strange. Challenges, difficulties, adversities, catastrophes. And he said it at that time, it's so much more applicable today. It's so much more relevant today. لَيْسَ الْبَلِيَّةُ فِي أَيَّامِنَا عَجَبًا. If you tell me, بَلِ السَّلَامَةُ, but peace, safety, security, that is something that has become strange, unheard of. If you tell me so-and-so got married and they got divorced, okay, yeah, what are you going to do? That's how it is. Even in our family, even in our street, even in our neighborhood. But if you tell me so-and-so is married and he didn't get divorced, what? You're kidding, man. You're not real, man. You're kidding, man. No, man. Really? Honestly, the guy is not divorced. I know, man. Listen to this guy. He said they're not divorced. That's how it has become. I visited one couple in one town. We went for a program. They said, go visit this old uncle. I said, I'll go there. Subhanallah, old uncle, auntie sitting there, magnifying glass, reading the Quran in their own way, love, muhabba. I just said, how long, uncle? He said, 55 years. You know, in Urdu they say, jitne nek mard hai, sab aurat ki wajah se. Kuch aurat ke khauf se, kuch huro ke shauk se. Jitne nek mard hai, sab aurat ki wajah se. All the pious men you have in this world, credit goes to the woman. Some are pious out of the fear of their wives, others out of the anticipation of the damsels of paradise. But end of the day, it's woman that makes a man pious. 55 years, I'm like, wow, man, uncle, that's awesome. That's amazing. Chacha, that's so brilliant. لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا إِنَّ الْجَمَالَ جَمَالُ الْعَقْلِ وَالْأَدَبِ. It's not clothing that adorn us only. Right? This is external, outward. Allah refers to husband and wife as clothing. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. You must see how the scholars unpack the different analogies that they create between libas. How your clothing adorns you. You could probably go for a bypass and you have stitches here and you put on a nice beautiful garment. It camouflages and conceals. In the very same way, you add value and beauty to the life of your spouse. She adds beauty to your life. You conceal her flaws. She conceals your flaws. Not that we go and divulge and expose in public. ليس الجمال بأثواب تزيننا إن الجمال جمال العقل والأدب ليس اليتيم الذي قد مات والده إن اليتيم يتيم العلم والأدب. He alone is not an orphan who was deprived of the shadow of his father. He too is an orphan who enjoyed the presence of his biological parents but was deprived of nurturing, grooming, character and good habits. He might have the physical presence of parents, but he's devoid of character. He also is an orphan. Now, latching on to that, I want to say, my brothers, on the words of Ali radiallahu anhu, a man who had parents but was deprived of upbringing is also an orphan. We live in a world today where there are two types of homeless people. There are those that are literally homeless, who don't have shelter. And there are those who have a home, but their house can never attract them. They ever on the run. What they say in English, instead of planning your next holiday, plan a life you don't need to run from. Instead of planning your next holiday, make your house, transform your house into a home. Transform your house into a home. Make it a place that it gives you a source of joy, happiness, and attraction. Because that's the powerhouse where you hang your heart, where you come and you relax. It is Allah who has made for you from your dwelling sakan. Sakan in Arabic means a place of comfort. You just come and relax. What they say, home is where the young become great and the great become young. Home is where the young become great and the great become young. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِنِّي لَيُعْجِبُنِي أَن يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ فِي أَهْلِهِ مِثْلَ الصَّبِي. I just love it when a man can come home, drop all his titles, drop all his aristocratic garb, and drop himself and become a regular person and get on his knees. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has Hassan on his back. Ali walks in. Wow, my son Hassan. Ni'mal markab. I like your car. I like your motorbike. I like your motorbike. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, and compliment me for my passenger also. Wa ni'mal rakib. Wa ni'mal rakib. And what about my passenger? Wow. Thumma dana fatadalla. My Nabi went to that point, even Jibreel backed off. But at home, my Nabi could drop himself, that Hassan could get onto his back. Radiallahu anhu. Innabni hadha sayyid. Innabni hadha sayyid. The kids were playing, and Hassan radiallahu anhu came. This boy of mine is not your regular boy. He's not an average boy. This boy of mine is going to become a great leader in the ummah. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ إِن يُصْلِحَ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. At his hands, Allah will reconcile two big factions of this ummah. Time moved on and history bore testimony to the fact when Hassan radiallahu anhu stepped down and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he handed over the khilafah to Muawiyah, and some people taunted him and said, you're not the Amir of the believers. Ya ar al-mu'mineen. You're an insult to the believers. And Hassan radiallahu anhu said, Al-ar khayrun min an-nar. Al-ar khayrun min an-nar. It's okay, you can call me an insult as long as it's better than the blazing fire of hell. He said, I've given the post to Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Some say I'm more deserving, some say he's more deserving. If in the eyes of Allah he was more deserving, I did him no favor, he only took what belonged to him. And if I was more deserving, then I did the bold step to avert bloodshed in this ummah. I took the bold step. How many of us can rise beyond the issue? How many of us can be bigger than the matter? How many of us can forget the politics of the family? How many of us can step up against the norm of society and do what is right? Not with the flow, not what is a taboo in our culture, not what is a no-go in our society. Do what is right. Do what is right. Allah made the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marry the former wife, the divorced woman of his adopted son, Zayd radiallahu anhu. Why? Because the Arab culture was that your adopted son was your son, and your son is your son, so his wife is your daughter-in-law, and it is forbidden for you. وَحَلَائِلُ أَبَنَائِكُمُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ. And forbidden for you is the wife of your son, that son which is from your loin and your back. So there was a taboo in the Arab culture that no, you cannot marry the ex-wife of your adopted son. And Allah said, oh my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, break that. وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. We got you married. Zainab radiallahu anha used to tell, she used to tell the co-wives, the other spouses of Nabi alayhi salam, oh Aisha, your dad Abu Bakr got you married. Oh Hafsa, your dad Umar got you married. Myself, Allah got me married. There was no formal nikah on the earth. The verse was revealed and the marriage was solemnized. The marriage was solemnized. So we're living in a crisis, my brother. Our teachings calls us on coming to home and taking amnesty in our house, in the environment in which we are exposed. But unfortunately, our house is no longer a home. It has structure, it has architecture, it has beautiful layout. But it just doesn't have something to keep us within our four walls. We've lost the plot. We've lost the whole thing. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you are attracted to a woman, and that's the pragmatic nature of Islam. If you are attracted to a woman outside, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, come home because your wife's got nothing less to offer you. These are the teachings. The invitation is not go out, the invitation is come back. As-safaru qit'atun min al-'adhab. يَمْنَعُ أَحَدَكُمْ نَوْمَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ فَإِذَا قَضَى أَحَدَكُمْ نُهْمَتَهُ فَلْيُعَجِّلْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. Travel is a type of affliction in its own way. And I marvel at these words of Habib Sassam because I travel. I travel often and ask Allah to accept my humble travels. And today we can sit in the lap of luxury, in the lap of comfort. But the words of Nabi alayhi salam remain unchanged. Journey is a type of affliction. You can be flying on a flatbed first class. You can be having a private suite on board. You can take a shower at 38,000 feet. And you can enjoy all those perks and privileges. And I've done it. But the fact remains that the words of Nabi alayhi salam are journey. And what does Nabi alayhi salam say? It denies you food at your time. It denies you drink at your time. So when you've done what you needed to do, come back home. Come back home. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Amir, the hadith that I quoted, oh Abu Amir, I give you three advices. What are the three advices? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, amlik alayka lisanak. Harness your tongue. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, it is not the lengthy prayers, it is not the optional fast that renders a person pious until and unless it's not coupled with managing his utterances. Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, I marvel at the statement of his, مَا تَكَلَّمْتُ كَلِمَةً إِلَّا أَعْدَدْتُ لَهُ جَوَابًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. I've never uttered a statement in my life, but that I've prepared a response for it. If Allah interrogates me, why you said this, I will give Allah an explanation to every. So I've audited myself. I have a reply and a response to every statement that I have uttered in my life. My word, my word. How often in a fit of rage, the best of us lose our composure momentarily and we ourselves are appalled by our own statements when sanity settles in. That what could I have said or what did I do or how did I lose my sanity? أملك عليك لسانك. Take care of your tongue. وليسعك بيتك. And really my brother, if it's a hut but it brings you at home, it's a palace. And if it's a palace, but it can't keep you at home, it's a hut. If it's a hut, but you come home, you're happy, there's a sense. We've traveled in Africa, deep down in Africa, and you see a man who is sitting at the Lake Malawi, and the man comes out of his little hut, and I'm observing, we're sitting soft, everything's done for us. He comes out, takes his net, gets into the little river, nets his fish, comes out, sits outside his little house, erected on a little thatch roof, basic structure, sells it there, makes his money, and back in his little hut. He steps out and it's outside. He puts one foot inside, one foot outside. What was the house of my mother Aisha radiallahu anha? Kana idha sajada ghamazani. Kana idha sajada ghamazani. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go into prostration, then he would nudge me. Then I would fold my legs up. Then when he would stand, then I would stretch my legs. Then he would drop in sajda, I would fold my legs up. Why? because the room was too small to accommodate me stretching my legs and the Nabi of Allah prostrating. Nowadays the prayer mat is gone, that other one is gone, so soft, subhanallah. Sajda in the air. Where is it? There's no touch, there's no feel. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ Oh my Habib, I'm watching you when you're standing. I'm watching you when you're bowing. And I am watching you when you're turning around in sajda. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ You are on my surveillance. You are on my monitoring eye. I am watching you, O my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ What is bayt? Alama Qurtubi writes under this ayah, كُلُّ مَا عَلَاكَ فَأَضَلَّكَ فَهُوَ سَقْفٌ وَكُلُّ مَا أَقَلَّكَ فَهُوَ أَرْضٌ وَكُلُّ مَا سَتَرَكَ مِنْ جِهَاتِكَ الْأَرْبَعُ فَهُوَ جِدَارٌ فَإِذَا اتَّصَلَتْ وَانْتَظَمَتْ فَهُوَ بَيْتٌ If it gives you shelter from the top, it keeps you atop from the ground, conceals you from the side, that's a house. Bayt in Arabic, bata yabitu bayt means you spend night, you want to sleep there, baytuta. You want to come and sleep there, we want to run. We've defeated the whole thing. Home has lost its role in society. How often the homes we build, the helpers and the domestics stay in there longer than us? I mean, the irony of our growth and our innovation and our luxury and our amenity. So, هو الذي جعل لكم من بيوتكم سكنا. Allah says, I've made a home for you which is a source of comfort. Then Allah says, I've given you a spouse which is a source of comfort. لتسكنوا إليها. Then Allah says, I have made the night for you. فالق الإصباح وجعل الليل سكنا. Second, the common thread between all these verses. Second, the night is a place of resting. والنوم سباتا. سبتا in Arabic means قطعا. So subat, the night supposed to be a place where you de-stress. Home was a place where you relax. Your spouse was where you look and your depression goes. It doesn't escalate. I mentioned that often, you know, where the guy came home and he's like, the wife is you back early today? Yeah, the boss had a bad day. Okay, so then he told all of us to go to hell. So I came home. But really, brothers, for many, home is hell. Home is hell. And that's the focus of my talk. Transform your house into a home. Transform your house into a home. You don't have to be in an exotic location to have quality time. We could be sitting together as a family, sitting together. What about those two companions? They are eating. عجب الله من صنيعكما. Oh, Allah was astonished at your people's practice. That the husband brought in gas, there wasn't food. He said, dim the light. And then I'll act like I'm eating and the wife will prepare and we present the food. And then he presents the food and the guest eats and the host is giving off a superficial reflection and the hunger is continuing and the act is being played out and Allah is observing the whole thing. And subhanallah, they are engaging in an act of worship in the confines of their house. And husband and wife retire to bed and they are hungry. But it bonds them in such a way that the muhabbah is such that Allah affirms it. Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah was just marveling at how you people were doing this whole thing. Allah was just marveling. When the occasion came and the verse was revealed, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا Who's interested in giving Allah a loan? And Allah uses the term loan because Allah is going to repay you. That's it, right? But Allah doesn't need. The disbelievers made some condescending remarks. Oh, إِنَّ اللَّهَ faqir. Is Allah poor? His resources are being depleted or what? لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ And then Abu Dahda just walks out and he runs from there. And he runs. And then he goes and his wife and his children are in the orchard. And he has this orchard in which there are 600 date palms. We go out. I had phone calls. Mona, we're in a crisis. I need to talk to you urgently. Okay, where are you? We're on a honeymoon. Eh? Uenzawena baba. What you telling me, my brother? We're having a crisis. We're spending. The other day, a brother said, I got married. Woman said, we need to go for a nice, good, honeymoon. We toured. You see, I never toured with my first wife, but anyway, alhamdulillah, whatever, I went. When we just landed at the airport, or no, I've realized we're not compatible. But thank you for the holiday. I was flying once back from Amsterdam, picked up a paper, The Misery of a Man, The Cry of a Man. It's like, hey, let's read what's this all about. So he decides to give his wife a pleasant surprise on the, I don't know, whatever, on her birthday or the anniversary it was. So he tattoos her name on his back. And the day he wants to show her what he did, she elopes with someone else. Now, if he keeps it, it's painful. If he takes it off, it's painful. Can you imagine this here? Keep it on psychologically, the pain. Take it out physically, the pain. Because to put on that old tattoo is another story. Cost him an arm and a leg. I mean, this thing, wow, the pain of a man, the pain of a man. You put it on to say, listen, love, this is what I've done. Oops, hang on, it's somebody else's love. Okay, now to keep it is painful, to take it off is painful. Wallah, we need to invest in our marriages. We need to invest in our homes. It's the powerhouse, my brother. If that is in order, we will be more productive in society. But if that is not in order, we will not be productive wherever we are. So, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن جُلُودِ الْأَنْعَامِ. We come home to a place of shelter, to a place of happiness. So what happened? Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu, he tells his wife, I cannot come inside because we've given this to Allah. So come out. أَقْرَضْتُهُ اللَّهَ عَلَى اعْتِمَادِ بِالطَّوْعِ لَا مَنَّا وَلَا ارْتِدَادِ إِلَّا رَجَاءَ الضِّعْفِ فِي الْمِيعَادِ فَارْتَحِلِي بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Oh man, how do I translate? Come my wife, I cannot enter. But hang on, you can just come in. No, no, I gave it to Allah. They are giving and donating and bonding. We supposedly going for a holiday and we have been divided. We going for an outing. You know what? It was a tough year. It was a turbulent year. There were so many things that happened at home and all that. So we said, no, just have a break. Just have a break and you know what? Get together. I'm not anti that. It's good. If that's what's giving it to you, it's fine. But that's not the only thing. We can find happiness in our home. Do the basic things. The old folks, what they did on a Sunday, it was nothing elaborate. You sat at home and the muhabbat was there. You called three people from the neighborhood and the home was a place of amnesty, of warmness, of joy, of muhabbat and understanding. Kids were playing. They were under observation. They were being seen to. And there was just this whole general atmosphere of happiness. And then the wife is now dusting the clothes of the children. Listen, drop this. Why? No, dad gave it to Allah. How do you impress a child? How do you explain a child? It's a daunting task. And she's emptying out. And the Nabi of Allah is looking at the scenery. And he said, كَمْ مِنْ عِذْقٍ رَدَاحٍ وَدَارٍ فَيَّاحٍ لِأَبِ الدَّحْدَاحٍ. I just have no idea how many palaces and orchards this family is going to have in Jannah. Only Allah knows what they're going to have. That was a home, my brother. That was a place. The occasion of Khandaq, extreme hunger, cold. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, I seen the hunger on the face of Nabi alayhi salam. I couldn't manage it. I couldn't deal with it. Honestly, brothers, we don't realize. I was in Malaysia 3 weeks ago for a program. After we completed the convention, I came back to the hotel. They said, Sheikh, you know, eat? I said, no, I'm done. I hopped into my bed and I felt a little hungry. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know why I didn't tell them. And sometimes it's only when we're in a bit of a situation, it gives us a glimpse to begin to imagine those who sleep hungry. And then I tried to sleep and I couldn't sleep because unfortunately that's our life. And then obviously you pick up and do some room service. But it just gave me thought, what about, I tried to sleep and I couldn't sleep. And it was a press of a button and a phone call and there was room service. But what about those who sleep on hungry bellies day in and day out? Well, what's their plight? And how will this play out in the court of Allah when we are, la yu'min, la yu'min, la yu'min. He's not a believer, he's not a believer, he's not a believer. Who O Nabi of Allah, whose belly is satiated and his neighbors are really hungry? And in a global village, everybody is our neighbors. In a global village, everybody is our neighbor. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, I looked at Nabi alayhi salam's face. I couldn't take it. I said, I went home. I spoke to my wife. I said, how many you think? She said, about maybe 13. Would Nabi salam 14? He came, he said, I whispered to Nabi, O Nabi of Allah, I wish I could call everyone home, but there's just enough to break even, maybe yourself and 10 others quietly. You just want to pull out few and call them home. I wish I had the muscle and the strength and the wealth to invite everyone, but my house doesn't have it. Nabi said, oh, leave everything. Ya ahl al khandak halummu ila ghada'i Jabir. Come, Jabir's wife made some food for us all. You try and rock up at home with uninvited, unannounced. Try your luck. Now you play in a double act there and everything, there's visitors. Don't worry, inshallah, we're organizing it here, yeah. You know, poor man is juggling and running and swallowing and holding and managing and we've lost the whole thing. There was nothing fancy, but there was a house was a home. Today it's palatial, it's amazing. You know when Umar ibn Abdulaziz, that quotation is there, and somebody built a beautiful palace and he called him and he said, come look at this here. He said, Hada sururun lawla annahu ghururun wa na'imun lawla annahu adimun wa mulkun lawla annahu hulkun wa farahun law lam ya'qibhu tarahun wa ladhatun law lam taqtarin bi afatin wa karamatun law sahibatha salama. Ay, ay. If we translate this, 2 hours, my brother. Hada surur lawla annahu ghurur. This is a nice house, provided it doesn't deceive you and make you arrogant. وَنَعِيم لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ عَدِيم. You can call it comfort if it's eternal. وَمُلْكٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ هُلْكٌ. It's an empire, provided it won't be followed by destruction. وَفَرَحٌ. It's excitement. لَوْ لَمْ يَعْقِبْهُ تَرَحْ. Provided there won't be any challenge, any hurdles, any obstacles. وَلَذَّاتْ لَوْ لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِآفَاتْ. وَسَلَامَةٌ وَكَرَامَةٌ لَوْ صَحِبَتْهَا سَلَامَةٌ. Come, Jabir's wife made food for us. That was a house. That was a home. There was nothing elaborate. There was nothing fancy. Jabir radiallahu anhu goes into panic. Jabir, relax. Tell your woman folk not to look into the pot. My Habib Sassam came. My Habib Sassam came. When the Nabi of Allah's dua, and the beauty of Nabi alayhi salam's dua is, it's attached with amal. More than it's attached with individuals. Surely there were those individuals, and it was on the strength of their actions. So if we internalize those amal and those actions, we will enjoy the same du'as of Nabi alayhi salam. He served an orphan for as long as he was alive, and then he left behind teachings that whoever will serve an orphan will be with me like this in Jannah. So the action continues. The action continues. Nobody stops us. Take the action. A sahabi, Nabi alayhi salam, sent him to buy a sheep. He took 1 dinar. He bought 2 sheep for the price of 1 dinar. Then he sold 1 sheep for a dinar, and he came back to Nabi alayhi salam with the dinar and the sheep. So you say, ah, but we all do that. Exactly, but we do it for ourselves. We don't do it for anyone else. That's why there's no barakah. I'm not saying it's wrong, but the key to attract that barakah is where you think with the eye to benefit others. Then you see goodness come. Where you try and let the wealth of others generate revenue for them and not exploit them for your own narrow benefit. And he came and gave Nabi alayhi salam the sheep, and he gave Nabi alayhi salam the dinar. Okay? Oh, Nabi of Allah, I took the money. I didn't have my own. I said, how can I take money from you? I didn't have my own. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. When Tabuk came and they had to mobilize, and some went and the munafiqeen lagged behind, and then came the genuine sahaba who lined up, but they didn't have food. They didn't have conveyance. And they said, O Nabi of Allah, we don't have, we want to join you. You give us. And you cried and they cried because they didn't have and you didn't have to give them. And Allah paints the picture. Allah sketches the image. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ. There's no reproach. There's no blame. إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ. They come to you. لِتَحْمِلَهُ. I don't have. Can you give me? Nabi says, I also don't have. I don't have. So O Nabi of Allah, I didn't have money. So I said, let me see how I can sell this. So then I sold it. I took 1 dinar. I bought 2 lambs. I managed to sell one. So I said, at least I can give you back the money also and the lamb. Nabi al-Sam was so touched. Barakallahu fi safaqati yameenik. Barakallahu fi safaqati yameenik. May Allah bless the transaction of your hand.
فَكَانَ لَوِ اشْتَرَى تُرَابًا لَرَبِحَ فِيهِ. Then his hand was so blessed, Sahaba say, if he touched sand also, it became gold. We touch gold, it becomes sand. They say this Sahabi used to have a list of partnership. Everybody, hey, whatever, count me in. Because you know this deal is going to reach fruition. Because Allah's Nabi's dua was there. Whatever you do, we're doing it together. Ne? It's a joint venture. It's a family thing. Oh, wow. Come, Jabir's wife has made food. Come home. That was joy. That was excitement. That was a house bringing you home. That was a place of solace and happiness and joy. So they come home, don't look into the pot and feed everyone. 1400 people come and eat from one pot and everybody leaves. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Jabir, Jazakallah, Allah has fed us. In one narration, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam mentions that one of the benefits of nikah is that when you get married, your spouse will generate revenue for you. Hakim al-Ummah in Hayatul Muslimin under this hadith elaborates, هذا إذا كان الزوجان فهيمين وناصحين. This formula of bringing wealth into the home would happen when husband and wife have a good understanding and that house is a home. فيسعى الزوج في زيادة الكسب وتشتغل الزوجة في انتظام البيت مما لا يقدر عليه الزوج. فيلزم الإطمئنان والراحة وهو مقصود المال. فهذا معنى الإتيان بالمال. Nabi alayhi salam said, when you get married, your wife will generate revenue. And then he elaborates what is meant, that a man exerts himself to work and to earn. And that's the teachings of our deen, that we don't beg, we don't ask, we need to be active and we work till our last breath. That is the teachings of Islam. مَنْ أَمْسَى كَالَّمْ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ أَمْسَى مَغْفُورًا لَهُ. That's the beauty of our deen. He who returns from his work exhausted, returns in a way that Allah has forgiven all his sins. The beauty of our deen is it's not limited, restricted, and confined to a location. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes under this ayah, Awa man kana maytan fa ahyaynahu wa ja'alna lahu nuran yamshi bihi fin nas. The one whose heart has been revived, whom we've given the light, he doesn't stagnate with the light of Islam. He walks around with this light of Iman. He's walking, he's talking, he's traveling, his business. It gives off a sense of brightness and effulgence. Oh, look at how he's behaving. Just look at how he's standing. Just see how he eats, man. Just see how he deals. His whole demeanor, disposition, interaction, yamshi bihi, under this ayah, yamshi, walks with it. He highlights and magnifies this, that Islam is not something that is found or restricted or limited to a location or a venue, but you walk your deen, you walk the talk, you exhibit your religion. So you're going out and working and earning, and you return home. The hadith says you enter the house. It's not only the man who came from the masjid is forgiven, even you who worked and came back, you're just so forgiven. One of the issues that we've lost in our faith is ihtisab. Ihtisab is mental awareness of the reward promised in every good action that I do. Where Allah says that we will bless people with a good life. لَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. Whoever does good actions will give him a good life. The scholars of tafsir have debated at length the definition of a good life. But by and large, they narrow it down to two components. A person who has a good life by the definition of the Quran will have a life in which he's contented. He'll be contented. And the second is Allah will give him the ability to constantly focus on the reward promised in Akhirah in whatever he goes through, thereby giving him strength in his challenges. So he will constantly visualize, my legs are paining in Taraweeh, but hey, I know Allah has promised great reward, man. I'm hungry, oh, Allah has promised great reward. I'm making sabr. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah says, I have a limit to every other action, but sabr, I just reward them infinite, limitless. I just give them limitless. I just give them unending. So ihtisab, we've lost the touch of ihtisab, that at every moment visualize a man who's working, at no point of the month is he oblivious of his return end of the month. And let him have a doubt and he drops his work. Let him have the slightest hint we won't be paid. And there it goes. At every moment he knows consciously, he's alert, he's focused that I will be receiving my salary, my payment, my 13 check, whatever it is. So anyway, he writes that when husband and wife have an understanding, the man goes out and he generates halal earnings. And I say halal because فَإِنَّا لَا نَصْبِرْ عَلَى الْحَرَامِ. Once we bring haram at home, my brother, we can have the most elaborate home, but that's going to bring no happiness to us. There was a brother who had invited me for a program, and then after I gave the talk, he sat down with me. He said, can I have some time with you? I said, go for it, brother. He just started crying and crying and crying. Brother, relax, bro, relax. I tried to pacify him. I was clueless of what was the motive of his tearing. He shows me a racing Corsa. He says, unfortunately, I've gambled my life here. And tragically, I have filled the bellies of my children with haram. And I wish I can undo it, but I cannot. My children revolt and rebel over me. I'm only hoping and praying that the systems can flush out the haram I've put into them. But I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm paying a heavy price. I'm paying a heavy price. He says, I was here gambling, and it was a Maghrib time, and the Adhan was called out, and I had this contradiction in my heart. And I said to myself, now how long are you going to carry on? Abdullah ibn Mubarak's life when he changed was the same thing. Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, I was sitting and having a night. It was a night, I was partying, and the verse was revealed, recited. The verse was recited. أَوَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Is it not high time you draw a line? Is it not high time? Is it not enough? Is it not enough? You don't want to call it a day. And I dropped. And then he became such a great scholar of hadith that I read something very amazing. That there is what they call naqd on hadith. They make jarh and ta'deel, academic language, where we analyze the profile of the narrators of hadith. You know, was he noble? Was he moral? Was he irreligious? Etc. They go through a whole profiling to authenticate and validate the authenticity of the narration that goes via him. And the great, great scholars of hadith also had people who had attacked their honor. But Abdullah bin Mubarak is such a person that there are no two opinions on the authenticity of his narration. He became such a musallam person when it came to hadith. He reached such a level. And this was the turning point. And he cried. And he said that unfortunately this is what I had done. And that is the misery I brought to my house. So I have this palace here, but there's no joy in this house. I know it is as a result of haram that I have put. Then he started reading Quran and he started tearing. He said, listen to me. So he read. I encouraged him. He said, my dream is, I wish I can understand what I'm reading before my eyes close. I said, subhanallah, my brother, your intention is noble. Allah will, inshallah, reward you. And Allah will free you from the wrong that has happened. There's a hadith in Tabrani, marfu'an. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, Nabi alayhi salam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى يَدِ زَوْجَتِهِ وَأَبَوَيْهِ وَوَلَدِهِ يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُتِيقُ فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ. A time will come, home will become hell. Home will become hell. I'm paraphrasing here. Home will become hell. A man will lose his iman because of his wife and children. How? يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ. They will taunt him. You're not taking us for holiday. Look at how simple. You're not upgrading. You're not changing. These are the words of the hadith. When I read this, and academically it's authentic, I took it to one of my scholars and he teared and he said, how apt and how precise and how true are the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. They will taunt him, and now you need to upgrade, change your phone, change this. But what's wrong? No, you need to be innovative. You need to move, you need to change. It's just changing, upgrading, innovating, but quality is just going out. What they say, you have 1,000 followers and 10,000 likes and 15,000. And when you're in ICU, there's only two people outside your ward. And that's the family. That's the real world. That's the real world. Those that care are your family members. The superficial fake world in which our children are living. They're actually living a life. They're outside the realms of the normal, common, average life. They've slipped out. They've lost the basic touch. I cry and I speak to my kids and I speak in my talks and I say to my students, how many youth today don't have the basic mannerism that if somebody rings the bell to usher the man in, Uncle Ibrahim, come in. My dad is in the washroom. Auntie Farida, my mom's in the kitchen. They both will be with you shortly. Uncle, how are you doing? How's your health? Can I get you a glass of water? Do you need to use the bathroom? Basic common etiquettes. We've lost the touch. Our generation has no connection with it. And then you want to talk of a home, my brother? You want to talk of a home? Oh, Abu Bakr is gone in Hijrah. Abu Bakr is gone in Hijrah, radiyallahu anhu. Let me complete this hadith. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ They will taunt him with the financial standing. And they will put certain deadlines on him. That you deliver or else. You deliver or else. Once I was in Perth, they showed me of a massive wealthy person's empire. And then his marriage broke up. His wife sued him for half of his assets and half of his assets in his potential growth for the next 10 years. Hello. Hello. Oh, what did a pious man say? Wed your daughter to an Allah-fearing person. Why? In ahabbaha akramaha. Wa illam yuhibbaha lam yadlimha. When things are, you see, the girl came and said, Dad, but this guy is not calculated. He's in a top wicket. He's on a top bracket. He's got it all going. So listen, my daughter, when things are hunky-dory, then all his assets are in your favor. But when the tide turns, then all his know-how bounces back at you. Now it's not a small divorce. It's not a basic divorce. It's not a common divorce. Now it goes ugly. It goes big. It goes to the courts. It goes through the litigation process. It goes on a big scale. So get your daughter married to a man who fears Allah. If he loves her, well, then all is fine. There's no issues. But if there's altercation and discord, his wealth won't stop him. His profile won't stop him. His taqwa will stop him from oppressing. And remember, my brother, the only thing that can manage me in the privacy of my house from not abusing my spouse is the fear of Allah. Because there's the question, who monitors the monitor? Who takes care of the... Who polices the policeman? Huh? Who watches the watchman? Who monitors the guardian? And that can only be taqwa. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani under this ayah writes, one explanation of ghaib is, who fear Allah when the servants of Allah are not watching. When the servants of Allah are not watching, that is it. The pleasure of that is unique. So يُعَيِّرُونَهُ They'll put deadlines. You deliver or else. Then Nabi alayhi salam says, this man will be between a rock and a hard place. فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ He will then resort to generating avenues through which he will lose his iman. What can I do? Well, I promised. I told them I'm going to take them for this holiday. You know what's it now? Do or die, make or break. Hell or high waters. I got to do it. It has to happen. And in the process, this is when house becomes hell, my brother. May Allah make our houses into homes. الْمَرْأَةُ الْعَاقِلَةُ تَبْنِي بَيْتَهَا وَالسَّفِيهَةُ تَهْدِمُهَا An intelligent woman can build a ruined house, while a naive one can ruin a built home. They say it takes 1,000 men to build a castle and thousands to protect the castle, but it takes one woman to make it a home. One woman to make it a home. A family structure as a whole, a unit of course, but I'm saying the role by and large. In that hadith that I was mentioning before, that when the man goes out and earns and the wife engages in her duty and this delegation of duty, he earns, she takes care. And each one respects their portfolio. فَيَلْزَمُ الْإِتْمِنَانِ This translates into warmness and understanding. Otherwise you get married and you come home and wife say, hey, make me a sandwich. Oh, but that's what I was doing in my bachelor's flat all my life, man. That's why I thought I got married. Now I'm making two sandwiches. Now I'm making two sandwiches. I mean, that's exactly what I was doing. Used to come back from campus and go to your bachelor's flat and everything. You know, each man, don't abuse your position. The world today is, it's a system of, no, you don't need to ask. You don't need to be obligated. The whole system that Allah has decreed for human on this earth is inter-obligation. We can't escape the system. I'm in need of you, you are in need of me. This is the system Allah has made. And we're trying to create a system of independence. Be independent totally. Be independent totally. I don't need you. So many live together just because. just because society mustn't know we divorce. Otherwise, they're more separate than divorced couples. Many people in the house are more divided, more separated, more segregated than divorced couples can be. But just because society mustn't know, they put together and zina and wrong continues on both ends, unending. So anyway, I was mentioning house into a home, Asma radiallahu anha. Look at this incident. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is gone with the Nabi of Allah. What a girl, what a home, what a place. Abu Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr, is not a Muslim at that time. He's 83 years, he's visually impaired. Abu Quhafa comes home. He cannot identify with the wisdom of the sacred journey because he's not a Muslim. And it's such a great journey that Umar radiallahu anhu said, my virtue and the virtue of my progeny till Qiyamah can't match the accolade of Abu Bakr in the journey of Hijrat with Nabi alayhi salam.
Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi Khalilaini Nazala Khaymata Umma Ma'badi Huma Nazalaha Bilhuda Fahtadat Bihi Faqad Faza Man Amsa Rafiq Muhammadi ليهن بني كعب مكان فتاتهم ومقعدها للمؤمنين بمرصدي سلوا أختكم عن شاتها وإنائها فإنكم إن تسألوا الشات تشهدي
هاي هاي جزا الله رب الناس خير جزائه. May Allah reward the best of rewards to Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr. Nazala khaymata umma ma'badi, on road from Makkah to Medina using the alternate path, they halted at the house of Umma Ma'bad, and she is one of the people who described the features of Nabi alayhi salam. Hulul mantiq, this man came sweet in his speech, long in his neck, impressive in his character, sublime in his nature. He came home, faqad faza man amsa rafiqa muhammadi. Fortunate is a man who even spent an evening with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine Abu Bakr, who spent thousands of evenings with Nabi alayhi salam. Then he came home and he said, oh, Umm Ma'bad, would you give us some goat and milk? And said, no, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. How about that goat? It's too lean. Okay, no, you can milk it. Try your luck. And then Nabi alayhi salam, she says, this blessed man started milking it. You know, he said, like, can I use the car? No, there's no gas. No, it's all right. I'll drive without petrol. Oh, lucky brother. Huh? What they say, E is for enough, F is finish. Other way around. Huma nazalaha bil huda, and then he started milking, and the vessel is brimming. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, drink, drink, drink. Have as much as you want. And then the poet says it so beautifully. He says, go and ask Umme Ma'bad her story. And listen, if you get to the house and Umme Ma'bad is not there, you can even quiz the goat. The goat will tell you the story. سلوا أختكم عن شاتها وإنائها فإنكم إن تسألوا الشات تشهدي فإنكم. You say you come home, parrot, Morana, listen, kalima came. The owner can't read kalima. He wants to tell me how the parrot is reading kalima. Leave the parrot, man. Leave the parrot and the parrot's kalima, man. We thrill ourselves with these things. Allah shukar. All my pets, alhamdulillah. My dogs all the time, they don't bark. Like, what, my brother, what? One parrot reading kalima, you down, you through, you sailing. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha fa innakum in tas'alu shata tashhadi. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, and this, their hearts were clean, man. Their hearts were clean. They could openly praise. Umar was Umar. But he said, Ali, I'm green with envy for you for three, and I'll die envying you for that three. I say it straight, Umar. Ali, I love you for three things. In that, you're way ahead of me. Today, we cannot say that. Well, that's your opinion. Others have a different opinion. But hey, we don't make ghibat of anyone. Allah knows the best. No, my brother. Come and drop that. Flush it out. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Are they jealous because I gave my Nabi so many wives? Are they jealous? What's the issue? Read Jalalain. What's the issue?
فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا.
My Nabi, it's still coming down in the lineage of Ibrahim. So what's your issue? It's coming down in the same family.
Ali, I am green with envy with you. Number one, تَزَوُّجُهُ فَاطِمَا. Oh, the honor of getting married to Fatima. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu proposed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just remained silent. Then he told Umar, I tried nothing, you go. Umar radiallahu anhu went. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, silent. Then he said, he's not coming to us. So, you know, if I can't get it, nobody else must get it. So we said, told Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abdurrahman, you're a handsome man, you're a prominent man, you got wealth, everything, you try. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu went. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, modest and bashful. Then Ali radiallahu anhu went. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you, Ali. My daughter Fatima is going nowhere else. Tazawwujuhu Fatima. Ali, Allah has given me everything, but I salute you. Allah gave you Fatima. Allah gave you Fatima. Man ahabbaha faqad ahabbani wa man adhaha faqad adhani. Man ahabbaha faqad ahabbani. Oh, whoever loves my Fatima loves me. She told Asma binti Umayz, the wife of Ja'far. What Ja'far, she went to Abyssinia. Aun Muhammad and Abdullah were born in the union. Read your history, my brother. My heart cries. Today we are ignorant about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know every other gadget and device. If we are empty and devoid and bereft, it is on the seerah of Nabi alayhi salam. Asma bint Umayz. Fatima said, Asma, I'm so worried when I pass away. What's going to happen to me? I read the narration myself in Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad. Asma said, come, I tell you something. When I was with my husband Ja'far in Abyssinia, I seen something very amazing. When a woman would pass away, then they would take twigs from a tree. They would create a little like a cot, and then they would cover it. Fatima radiallahu anha said, display it to me, show it to me how they do it. So then she displayed it. Fatima said, oh, this is lovely, man. This was my concern. She called Ali. Ali, I'm going to pass away. Bury me by night and make this cot-like thing and cover me from the top. So it must be night also, and I must be covered like this, so it just adds to my concealment and my modesty and my hayab. And my sister Zainab, her daughter Umama, I want you to get married to her after my demise. These were clean people. These were open people. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu then honored all these requests. Fatima radiallahu anhu was buried by night. Fatima radiallahu anhu, and that's the same principle that followed down, that we cover. If you trace the history of this year, you would find it was something that Asma bint Umayz, the first wife of Ja'far, because then she was married to Abu Bakr, and then she was married to Ali radiallahu anhu. She was an amazing woman. She observed this practice in Abyssinia, and it filtered down. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said? أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاطِمَا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. Hi, 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 hi. Oh my word. I can just see things are coming on me one after the other. Because Nabi alayhi salam passed away and Fatima radiallahu anhu passed away in 6 months. In 6 months, I lost my Nabi and I lost my wife. Two great pillars. Nabi Sassam lost Abu Talib and Khadija in a span of 1 week. In a span of 1 week. History refers to that as Ammul Huzn. Ara ila ladunya alayya kathira. It's just coming. It's just rushing on me. The challenges are just rushing on me. One after the other. Wasahibuha hatta al-mamati alilu. But that's life. That's life. You just move on one after the other. Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi kadhan famulaqi wa inna iftiqadi fatima ba'da ahmad dalilun ala alla yadu makhalilu. And the fact that I lost my Fatima months after I lost my Nabi is a proof nobody is here to stay. Nobody is here to stay. If I had to bury in 6 months Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat, and I had to bury, and Fatima was 29 years of age. Fatima radiallahu, and she was the only one who lived after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. From all his 6 children, and with Ibrahim from Maria Qibtiya 7, Nabi alayhi salam buried 6 with his own hands. Nabi alayhi salam buried 6 with his own hands. Anyway, Sayyidina Umar said, oh, I just envy Ali because he has Fatima radiallahu anha. أَخْذُهُ الرَّايَةِ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرِ. In Khaybar, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm giving the banner to someone who loves Allah,
and his Nabi. The hadith is very long and we all wanted it, and it went to Ali. Ali, I'm so happy for you, Ali. I'm so happy for you, man. I'm happy for you. You know, sometimes just be happy for others, my brother. Just be happy for others. You'll be happy yourself. Be happy for others. Just congratulate others on their joy. Flush it out of your heart. Don't tie up and don't be restricted. You just die in that misery of yours. And the third thing is that he had close proximity to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had access which nobody else had. So these three things I envy. And Sayyidina Umar said that that journey of Abu Bakr in Hijra, myself and my whole family till Qiyamah can't match it. Anyway, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is gone. I'm trying to wrap up now, inshallah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is gone for Hijra. And then Asma, the daughter. Asma and Aisha, they didn't share a common mother. This is a point of history we need to know. A lot of people don't know this. Read the history. I don't want to go into that. My mind is running too much today. Aisha and Asma radiallahu anha are sisters, but they don't share a common mother. These are facts we need to know. You know, he says, yeah, he plays for this team. Wait. I'll tell you the truth. Oh, now comes like a super authority on this guy here. I tell you at what age. He was first selected here. This was his first call. Whoa. What authority he runs the whole course. Like, you know what? Take a back seat. I'll give you the whole history. And then I was speaking on Musahiq bin Rabi' bin Qais al-Kinani. So a youngster came to me and said, hey, that's a hectic name, Maulana. I say, and how's it some of those Sri Lankan cricketers? Huh? Come on, my brother. My heart bleeds, my brother. One is we are ignorant on the life of Nabi alayhi salam, but then we're so learned on everything else. I'm not saying being ignorant here. No. I promote, I advocate, and I support the need. We need to enhance, educate, and empower ourselves. That's what our motto is. And we study, we research. Our revelation started with Iqra. Read. But we know zero when it comes to our deen. We don't know anything. Musahiq bin Rabi bin Qais al-Kinani, Sayyidina Umar sent him to the Roman emperor. The Roman emperor honored him, put him on a throne of gold. He sat down, not realizing he's sitting on gold. While talking, he looked. He said, ooh, this chase of gold, he got off. So the emperor said, لِمَ نَزَلْتَ عَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَكْرَمْنَاكَ. You know, people die to sit here and you get in off it. He said, let them die. By my Nabi told me I don't sit here. Now we were like, you see, I realized in the meeting, but it was high profile, it was protocol, it was all, you know what, entrepreneurs and all that. So bureaucracy, formalities, I couldn't like really sneak out. So I was like trying to think, and but you know what, I mean, you need to do it in a decent way because we want to show Islam's culture and respect. I'm like, what, my brother? You know, where are we running, man? Then we have 1,000 other angles and dimensions and explanations and justifications. لِمَ نَزَلْتَ عَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَكْرَمْنَاكَ. Why did you get off? As my Nabi told me, I mustn't sit on gold. So sorry it offended you, but that's what my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me. So I just had to get off. So anyway, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is in the journey of Hijra. Aisha and Asma, I told you, read, their mums were different. And that's the authentic opinion on the breakdown on Asma and Aisha radiallahu anhu. Both were generous people. Both were generous in their own way. So Asma was a young girl. Her grandfather, this is a house, is a home, my brother. This is where you are manufacturing, you are molding people, you are molding your children, you are making a generation. So my grandfather came home. My grandfather was visually impaired. He was 83. My grandfather said, Hal taraka khair. In Arabic, khair can mean wealth also, and khair can mean virtue also. Wa innahu li hubbil khair la shadid. Man's love for wealth is intense. You know? You say, hey, look at him, he loves money. What about you, brother? When wealth came into Medina, Sayyidina Umar said, Allah, I don't want to say I don't love it. We all love it. I'm asking you, let us use it in a manner that you love it. Straight. They were sincere. They were honest. There was nothing hypocritical. There was nothing fake about them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to visit Uthman bin Maz'un Ghaliban. And as Nabi Sassam knocked on the door, Nabi Sassam realized that he got him on a wrong moment. He was a bit private with his wife. So Nabi Sassam said, La'allana ajjalnak. Oh, we put you on the spot, Uthman. He said, yes, O Nabi, Allah, you put me on the spot, but it's fine. Now, you look, hey, there your brother comes. My brother-in-law again, you're in the camera.
Does guy, I don't know what he wants. Hey, come inside, Ibrahim. How are you, man? Come inside, Ibrahim. If he, how is it, man? I hope I'm not just saying, no, not at all, man. Not at all. We were just sitting. We weren't doing anything. That's the hypocrisy in our life. The Quran says in the 18 Juz, وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. Listen, if you knock on the door and the man tells you, please can you go, it's not a good time, take it in your stride and go back. That is good for both of you. You're not invading him and he's having his time to what he needs to do. One sahabi said, I went on knocking the doors of people with the hope someone turns me down so I can practice on this injunction, but nobody turned me down. Today you cannot tell someone, go back. Now look at him now. Now, a man is gone. You know what? He's gone. His price is now saffron, but he's gone expensive by a appointment. Okay, sorry. No, man. Why do we live these lives, my brothers? Open. This is it. لَعَلَّنَا عَجَّلْنَاكَ. We put you on the spot. Yes, O Nabi of Allah, I was. Nabi doesn't realize he was having a private moment. He said, no, but that's fine, O Nabi of Allah, but I was. Okay, while you are here, O Nabi of Allah, can I ask you a hadith quickly? Yeah, go for it. Oh, man. Just look at how clean the times were. So easy. Sahabi knocks on the door. It's written in Ma'rifah al-Quran under the same ayah. لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Nabi alayhi salam knocks. Assalamu alaykum. Wa alaykum assalam. Assalamu alaykum. Not the doorbell. You know, ringing away there. Assalamu alaykum. Marhaba. Andar ayye. That's how it was. Wa alaykum assalam. Assalamu alaykum. Wa alaykum assalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns around. Just then he opens the door. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, come in, O Nabi of Allah. I greeted. Yes, O Nabi of Allah, if I had to reply your greeting in an audible way, you wouldn't have invoked the mercy of Allah for the second time. The only reason I was discreet so you can keep on making salam so more descends on me. The ulama have debated this hadith at length. It's an absolute authentic narration that he was motivated by passion. But of course, that's not the right thing because then you inadvertently, now you know, Buzruq, Sheikh, come to the house. Walaikum salam, walaikum salam. No, Hazrat, I need your du'as. But now you're causing taklif also, you know, balance the act out. But understand that. كَانَ الْيَهُودِ يَتَعَاتَصُونَ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The narration of Tirmizi. The disbelievers, the Yahud, they used to stall a sneeze. When they wanted to sneeze, they used to run to Nabi alayhi salam so that when they sneeze, then they'll get yarhamukallah from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, hadakumullah, Allah guide you. Allah guide you. So they, you know, bless you. They just wanted that bless you from Nabi alayhi salam. So, I mean, sneeze is not something you can hold. It's not something you can stall. It's not easy. But they used to actually stall a sneeze to get the blessings of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Our deen is very beautiful, my brother. Our deen is user-friendly. Our deen is pragmatic. Yassira, wala tu'assira, bashira, wala tunaffira. Go Muaz, you people are going Yemen, go. When you come back, you won't meet me. But see, make things easy for people. Don't complicate it. Ma yuridu Allahu liyaj'ala alaykum min haraj. Yuridu Allahu bikumul yusra, wala yuridu bikumul usra. When does Allah say yuridu Allahu bikumul yusra? When Allah ordains the injunction of fasting, you think fasting is difficult. In the discussion of fast, Allah said, listen, I'm not here to make things difficult. I want to make it easy for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ. But yes, complete your days. If you're traveling or you're sick, then fast on other days. Let's get to this point. We're not moving here. So Asma radiallahu anha, Abu Quhafa comes, 83 years old. Khair, we digress from there. But I believe these digressions are objective because in that there is motivation for me and for you, and that's the teachings of our deen, my brother. So whatever Allah puts, I just say it. It's not that I plan it or calculate it, but it's all from Allah. So anyway, Abu Quhafa comes home, visually impaired. He asks his daughter, using the Arabic phrase, khair, granddaughter Asma, did your father leave behind any khair? Could mean virtue, could mean wealth. His reference was wealth. So she says, "Taraka lana khayran kathira." Oh, my father left behind a lot of khair. Lot of khair. Okay, let me feel the khair. So she takes some stones, some pebbles, she puts it in a bag.
This is when a house was a home. This is where you were manufacturing humans. This is where you were shaping the generations. This is where a girl knew her duty to her father and loyalty to the faith. At the same time, sensitive to her grandfather, who's not a Muslim, who cannot identify with the sanctity of this journey. He wants to know money. And the daughter could play the dual role. Look at the psychology of this girl. Look at the maturity of this girl. The world has become barren to produce women of this caliber. Forgive me, but that's the harsh reality. And men alike. So she takes the pebbles, she puts it in bags, and then she takes the hand of the old man and makes him feel it. And he perceives it to be coins. He perceives it to be money. So he said, Taraka khayran kathir. Oh, it's good to know he's left behind a lot of money. Asma radiallahu anha said, by Allah, my dad had not left behind a dime. My dad had not left behind a dime, but I had to play the dual role and balance the act. Abu Jahl comes home. Where's your father? She says, I don't know. Abu Jahl slaps Asma radiallahu anha, physically assaults her. Her earrings falls at a distance. She perseveres. She manages the role. She's loyal. She's the very one preparing the food and sending it. For the 3 days that Nabi alayhi salam is in the cave of Thawr. And then she puts the food in her apron because there was no container. She splits the apron in half. Dhatun nitaqain. What a role this woman played. Prepared food for my Nabi and her father in the journey of Hijrah. Her brother was taking the message and bringing the information. He would go to the cave of Thawr and then he would spend the night. And before the flush and the crack of dawn, he would come back to Makkah. So the infidels would not get a hint that he's going outside. So to keep their anxiety at bed. And it was him taking the food. She prepared the food. She played a matured role to her father. Loyal to her grandfather. Faithful to the cause of Islam. She stood with her chest open when Abu Jahl came, not to be intimidated by the physical abuse and assault of Abu Jahl. These were our women, and this is what were being made in our homes once upon a time. This is where generations were being molded. Sayyidina Ibrahim is gone. He comes home. Ismail alayhi salam is gone. He knocks on the door. Where's your husband? No, he's gone out to earn. Kharaja yabtaghi lana. The hadith of Bukhari. Okay, how's life? Oh, it's tough, man. Things are bad. Things are bad. Things are bad. Really? Okay, what we eat? What you eating? No, not, nothing really. We're not even breaking even. Okay, when your husband comes home, give him my regards and tell him probably it's time he got to consider changing his doorstep. Maybe it's time he needs to change it. So when Sayyidina Ismail comes home, كَأَنَّهُ أَحَسَّ بِشَيْءٍ كَأَنَّهُ أَحَسَّ. He senses. Somebody came home? Yeah. Who? Ja'ana shaykhun kada wa kada, an old man. And then, yeah, he just asked me about you. I said, you gone out. And then, he asked how we living. I said, no, it's tough times, man. We're not really achieving anything. Things are bad. And then what he said? He said, no, you must reconsider. Maybe it's time to change your doorstep. Okay, my wife, that was my dad. And that's Ibrahim Khalilullah, Abul Anbiya. And my dad's message is that I need to change my doorstep. I heard from one of my ustads and how profound. It left me thinking. Allah refers to Ibrahim in the Quran. Inna Ibrahim la halimun awwahun la awwahun halim. Innahu la awwahun halim. Awwahun, Qurtubi says 15 meanings of awwah. Commonly soft-hearted, one who cries a lot. Allah says Ibrahim was a tolerant man. He was a forbearant man. And my ustad said, someone whose tolerance was sanctioned by Allah. Even his tolerance gave in when a woman was ungrateful. You say, no, you're reacting, man. You're ungrateful. I'm ungrateful. Allah said Ibrahim is tolerant. Allah said Ibrahim is tolerant. Allah said he's forbearant. The very forbearant Ibrahim said, you know what, maybe it's time. I often say if men can become faithful and loyal and give up a life of promiscuity, infidelity, disloyalty, immorality, and women can become grateful, 90% of the marriages are rescued. The biggest wreck of this earth is a broken home. The biggest wreck is a broken home. There's nothing left. There's no structures left. It's just external in terms of joy, happiness, walking there and feeling a sense of happiness and coming home to a place of sakan, buyut, comfort, out of the window. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim wed someone else. And then Ismail alayhi salam wed someone else. And then Ibrahim comes again and he asks, where's your husband? Kharaja yabtaghi. He's gone out to earn. Imagine the Nabi of Allah Ismail gone out to earn. Gone out to earn. I just spoke the other day about this wasting time. I gave a dedicated talk on this here. You know what? We've lost the whole thing. Sleeping late hours, getting up late, lazy start, slow Monday, lazy Tuesday, relaxing Wednesday, taking it easy on Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. You know that restaurant in London? Thank God it's Friday. That's the name of the restaurant. One dessert place we went to in Birmingham. Nice, lovely place. The name of the dessert is, I'll have one of what she's having. That's the name of a dessert. Can I have one of what she's having? But I'm alone, my wife is not worth. Can I have one of what she's having, please? Thank God it's Friday. TGI. I'm sure you've seen those restaurants. Right? So what's left? There's nothing, nothing. There's no production. Sayyidina Umar, when he used to see people walking slow, he used to nudge them. Are you sick? No. Then don't be so sluggish, man. Your battery is dying. Walk. Huh? لَدُرَّةُ عُمَرْ كَانَ أَهْيَبُ مِنْ سَيْفِكُمْ لَدُرَّةُ عُمَرْ They said the whip of Umar had a greater effect than the swords of others. You know when Umar radiallahu anhu heard about the sword of Amr ibn Ma'di Karib, Samsama. Amr ibn Ma'di Karib, everybody raving about your sword. Send me your sword, let me look at it. So Amr ibn Ma'di Karib sends the sword. فَوَجَدَهُ دُونَ مَا كَانَ يَسْمَعْ So when he flashed it around, he said, no, man, there's nothing to write home about. It's all right, it's fine, it's good. So he wrote back to Amr ibn Ma'di Karib. People have been raving, but I've seen it's easy. It's nothing so great. So what did Amr ibn Ma'di Karib said? بَعَثْتُ بِالسَّيْفِ وَلَمْ أَبْعَثْ بِالسَّاعِدِ الَّذِي يَضْرِبْ بِهِ Umar, I send you the sword. I didn't send you the hand that knows how to use it. I send you the sword, I didn't send you the hand. Allahu Akbar. So then Sayyidina Ibrahim comes home. Ismail is gone out to work. Start your day early, my young boy. Sleep early. The one who sleeps late, his life is in guaranteed destruction. Sleeping. The other day, one of my teachers was telling me, sitting, he said he was speaking to one of his ustads. And he said they were just talking about how people are sleeping for extended hours. You sleep late, you get up late, there's no night, there's no day, there's no weekday, there's no weekend, there's no barakat, there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no good, there's no discipline, there's no schedule, there's nothing. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ The ulama of Lugha say, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ In this ayah, every letter and every word indicates qillat. كَانُوا قَلِيل مِّن لَيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ Everything is telling you less. They slept very little in the night and then they got up early. That is the life of a believer. That is the life of a believer. And you take a rest at midday. And at midday, it doesn't have to be sleep. If you just rest, that is enough. Al-istiraha, al-qaylula, al-istiraha, waqt al-zahira, wa illam yakum ma'ahu nawm. He mentioned in Jalalain, even if you just retire, that's the practice and the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. Scientifically, truck drivers who take a rest at midday and have siesta, they are less hazardous on the road, and they cause less problem on the road when they sleep. So let's end on that note. Sayyidina Ibrahim comes back home. Where's your son? He's gone out to work. Ismail alayhi salam, the great Nabi of Allah, working. How many parents today? Just carrying the youngster, man. I don't know how long you're going to carry him, man. No gumption in this generation. No gumption. How's things at home? Nahnu fi raha. Oh, we are very happy. We live in very, very happy. What you people eat, we have meat. What you drink, we drink water. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, listen to this here. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what did Nabi alayhi salam live on? She said, Al-Aswadan. On two black things. That's the translation of the hadith, Al-Aswadan. What is it? Al-Ma, Al-Tamar wal-Ma, dates and water. Now, linguistically, you're going to argue, and rightfully so, dates are black in color, but water is not. So how did Nabi alayhi salam, or how did Aisha radiallahu anha say Al-Aswadan? So the common answer, the average answer, the known answer is what we say, Taghliban. Taghliban is where the name of one is dominated on the other. So for sun and moon, you say Shamsain Qamarain. You say two suns, but one is a sun, one is a moon. For Maghrib and Isha, you say Isha'ain. And there are multiple examples. But I heard an amazing explanation from Mawlana Saeed Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir Madani Rahimahullah under this hadith. He said, why refer to, and this is a principle in fiqh and tafsir, you don't refer to metaphorical if literal is possible. This is a basic principle where you can give a literal translation, you don't migrate to a metaphorical interpretation. You only go to a metaphorical interpretation when you cannot reconcile with literal. It's a basic principle of Quran and Sunnah, academic language, but basic. I hope you know what I'm saying here. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. Whoever is blind in this world will be blind in Akhirah. Now it doesn't mean literal. It doesn't mean literal because then so many Sahaba were blind, Abdullah ibn Maktoum. But rather it means the blindness of the heart. And I often say, and I just mentioned it the other day in class, that if your gaze, your physical gaze is blind, but your heart is not blind, you can still see a lot. And if you sighted, but your heart is blind, you will see no truth. If you are physically deaf, my brother, but your heart is not blocked, you will still hear a lot. But if you have ears and you have faculties, but your heart is blocked, you will hear nothing. And where do I support this from the Quran? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُونَ إِلَيْكَ أَفَأَنْتَ تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ أَفَأَنْتَ تَهْدِي الْعُمْيَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Oh man. Learn the Quran, my brother. Connect yourself with the Quran. This is just amazing. It's beyond description. So what did he say? Al-Aswadan. What is Aswadan? He said, why do we go to a metaphorical when literally? Take the word Aswadan from Sada Yasudu. Sada Yasudu means to be a leader, Sayyid. When it comes to food, dates is the leader. When it comes to drink, water is the leader. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sada Yasudu in Arabic means to lead. There cannot be something more wholesome than dates. That's what we lived on. Al-Aswadan. What are you people eating? Laham. What are you drinking? Water. Barakallahu lakum. May Allah bless you in what you have. The narration goes on. Walam yakun lahum yawma idhin habbun. This woman was just bold, courageous and grateful. And she said, we eat in, otherwise there wasn't a grain in the house. But the house was a home. She was a contented mother. Labaytun, nadifun, wa imra'atun, a clean house with a well-attired spouse, with disciplined children. Khayrum min ayyam fi dhillil qusuril aliyah. You come home to a hut and there are kids that are well-dressed and your wife have given great morals and values and the house is disciplined, the man is earning halal, each one is not gripped and riveted in his devised. That is a mini jannat on this earth, my brother. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to transform our houses into homes. We ask Allah to make our home a center of happiness and joy, goodness and understanding, a place where we can come and unwind and de-stress and relax, where I can charge my wife's battery, she can energize me, the children can inspire the kids, the parents can inspire each other, and collectively we make a greater whole and we become more productive to the ummah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Oh most kind, most loving, most gracious Allah,
My kind Allah, we are living in very, very turbulent times, my Allah. Allah, we say to you our crisis because you have told us to speak to you, not because you don't know about it. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ. You know what we conceal and you know what we verbalize, Allah. Allah, there's mayhem on this earth, there's anarchy on this earth. Allah, there is crisis in our homes, there's no happiness, there's no understanding. Allah, give us the ability to get rid of anything and everything which is attracting your wrath and your curse in our house. Be it any form of pornography, immoral, obscene objects, devices, material, video, whatever it is, Allah, give us the ability to flush it out of our homes and our systems, Allah. Allah, as men, make us faithful and loyal, make us obedient and good partners and spouses and parents and children and sons. Allah, you grant our women folk the ability to be modest, to be dedicated, to be grateful. You make our children, Allah, the coolness of our eyes, Allah. Free them from the scourge of drugs, Allah. Free them from the scourge of intoxication, Allah. Free them from the addiction of Allah, of digital consumption, O Allah. Let us use the ni'mats that you have given us objectively and let us not abuse it, O Allah. Allah, across the globe, in many parts of the world, crises continue to rain on different people, Allah. Allah, bullets continue to come, Allah. Drones continue to come, Allah. Allah, there's tyranny, there's oppression, there's lawlessness, there's mayhem, there's poverty, there's penury, Allah. But we know and we take solace that you've told us, you're watching the scene, Allah. You monitoring the scene, Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ غَافِلًا لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا مَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You told us you didn't forget, and you are not unmindful, and you're not heedless, and you're giving respite, and you're giving grace, and you're monitoring, and you're in charge, Allah. And nobody can ask you, and you will ask everyone. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. And you don't fear how people interpret your decisions. We ask you, Allah, through your greatness and your mercy, your grandeur and your supremacy, O Allah, to allow peace to reign on this earth, Allah. To allow goodness to come, Allah. Give us good rulers, make us good citizens, Allah. Allah, create in our hearts the dislike of sin, vice and transgression, Allah. Allah, sin has paralyzed us, it has maimed us, it has destroyed us, my Allah. Allah, it has ripped us of all joy and happiness, Allah. Allah, you bless all the brothers that have converged and congregated, all the well-wishers, Allah. You take this masjid and its institutions, Allah, from strength to strength, Allah. Allah, you guide and protect one and all, those marriages that are going to discord and turbulence, Allah. Through the blessings of this humble program and to whoever this message will reach out, Allah, you reconcile between their homes, Allah. You put muhabba and understanding. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على
By Islamic Media CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s and DVDs at SOKIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SOKIslam. SOKISLAM.com.